Jerry? Jerry.
Hello, William.
Hi there. Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay. We had a little bit of trouble there. Slightly wrong connection.
Oh, not to worry.
Yeah. Did you hear any of the music?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the opening...
I've got a big echo.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. The opening thing was something called Valse Belgique.
Oh.
On a dry orgel, or a barrel organ.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of Belgian waltz. Okay.
That's all right, messing me up, but it's just dropped off the wall. That's normal, you know.
Yeah. Is that what the crash was in the background?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hang on the line. Okay, this is Wavelength on Resonance.
Okay.
Resonance 104.4 FM. And this is a live phone connection with Jerry Smith in Ostend, Belgium. Jerry Smith, artist and curator, who is right now setting up his show in the Hotel Andromeda, and with a picture falling off in the background. So how's it going, Jerry?
I went to bed totally pessimistic. I said, I've let everyone down, just walk into the sea and drown. But something happened, I don't know, in the middle of the night, and I woke up. I said, no, you know, get your mate to get that bit from Brussels instead of you and spend more time in the show and get it done.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're not nearly bloody there, but we're hanging in like about a 10-metre daisy chain at the moment.
Oh, a daisy chain? What's that? How do you mean? In what way is it a daisy chain?
It's a painting of a daisy chain on paper.
Oh, right.
So what we do is we swap now that one and that one. Okay, that's good. That's okay. But it's that one and that one in the wrong... I'm sorry, I've got to be bossy. All right, William?
Yeah, no, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I'm really enjoying myself. These Belgian riders are bloody good. I've got Christophe Fink next to me.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to do me a bicycle ride to Brussels, but he's now changed it to... What is it you're doing, Christophe? It is a bicycle ride. Oh, I got my bicycle ride to Brussels. Oh, I thought I'd been done out of that one, you know. He's been getting a free dinner here, so I thought... Anyway.
Okay.
I'm trying to do, like, a thing of taking coals to Newcastle. We're bringing some things that a lot of... an English people have affection for Ostend and giving them stuff that they may not have come across, you know.
Yeah. So tell me, you're in a hotel on the seafront in Ostend, yeah?
Next to the casino, the one where Marvin Gaye sung in. So,
oh, right.
It's a bit of a dream, yeah.
Yeah. And is it the Hotel Andromeda?
That's the one.
How did it come about? Why are you exhibiting in a hotel?
I didn't know at first. I mean, you know, but I've been told that the person looking for the space for me... She was in this bar that Danny, the guy who played with Marvin, had, and someone suggested she approach to being in the Andromeda.
Yeah.
And then she realised her mum, when she was very young, went out with her father, who started the hotel, collecting all the art and blah, blah, blah. So she sent this letter, and Sabine from the hotel loved the letter, and off they went, you know.
Yeah.
And I got my drink. What's that? I was going to change. Yeah, it's that one. Yeah. Number two. Is that right? That looks like number two. I think so. No, bloody doesn't, does it? They're written in the corners. It's got numbers. They should have numbers on. Sorry about this.
That's all right. I'm playing some... I've got some Belgian...
Oh, it no, it's 95. I've got a number right. It's the price of the bloody paper. 95p. It only goes 1 to 6, so let's have a look. A 6. Oh, that's the last one. That's okay, yeah. Yeah, but it finished, yeah. Sorry, William. Okay.
That's all right. I'm playing some Belgian music. This is by a guy called Oscar Haus.
Oh, lovely.
Born in 1939, and he's sort of some kind of outsider artist.
Yeah, Danny, that's good. That's it. Excellent. Oh, sorry, we've solved this one. William, are you all right?
Yeah.
I'm talking over the music, am I?
No, that's all right.
Okay. Yeah, he's got to put the number 5, and that's number 6. I'll hold it, don't worry. Yeah. We'll put it there, and it's fine. Good. Oh boy.
So how are you getting on with the hanging? What's left to do?
You don't want to know. Well, the clown's still alive.
The clown is still alive.
We're going to do monitors and electricity tomorrow or late tonight.
Oh yeah.
So.
You've plugged it in and tried it out then?
No.
Oh.
I'll be honest.
Oh okay.
But it should work, shouldn't it?
Well, it should do.
We Hal packed the van expertly, you know.
Yeah.
So everyone said we wouldn't get it all in, and we did. So.
Yeah. So we...
Oh, boy. Shall I sort of get offline, or...?
No, not at all, no. No.
Oh, okay. I'll switch hands because it's aching.
Just tell me what you're doing.
Did you want to have a chat with one of the artists, the Belgian artists?
I could do, yeah, why not?
Yeah?
All right.
Oh, okay. Christoph, will you have a chat with Resonance? It's a London station. It's live. What? This is live radio in London. You don't want to... just say hello. He's a bit shy. You can tell him what you've done for the show. Hello, William?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you going to come off online now? I mean, is it now?
Just put him on the phone for a minute.
I'll put you on the phone, yeah. Oh, no, he's a bit shy.
Well, I'll speak Dutch to him.
Sorry?
I can speak Dutch to him.
He can speak Dutch, he can speak Netherlands to you. She can speak Netherlands, no one wants to say. Certainly not.
No?
Yeah, he's very shy. No.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, we were going to speak to Danny, weren't we?
Danny had, he's got a, he ran out of beer, so I don't know what he's to do with. So he's meeting the brewery and he said it's really important.
Yeah.
So I've got a knock on his window at 4 o'clock tomorrow to try and entice him out.
So Danny runs a bar, doesn't he, in Ostend?
Yeah, Tide, yeah.
Yeah, and did you say he played bass with Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, but Rufus Thomas mainly.
Oh, right.
The Funky Chicken Man.
Yeah, and does he still do that?
I think Rufus Thomas is dead.
No, I mean, I see, is he? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, right.
I'm not sure, but I think he got very old.
Yeah.
Because Danny told a lovely story about they played in this, I think it was in Holland, in the open air field.
Yeah.
And they had to build a platform because of so the audience could see. And it's massive, had a lift, and Danny's scared of heights. So, because Rufus Thomas was getting old. He asked Danny to do solos. And so Danny would go to the front, do a solo, and give Rufus Thomas a rest.
Yeah.
And then, what happened was, I'm just on the radio. He says, well, Michael's just arrived. But anyway.
Okay.
So, Rufus used to clip his sort of hands and say, you know, that's the single to go to the front. And Danny didn't go, right?
Yeah.
And then Rufus Thomas again, he looks at him really badly and then did his hand thing, but Danny didn't go.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, Rufus didn't do the high fives with him, and that's the first time he's never done it, so Danny felt bad.
Yeah.
So when he got down the lift, he knocked on his door in the caravan, and he said, what do you want, Danny? And he said, well, I'm really sorry, I'm scared of heights. He said, oh, Danny, you should have told me.
Yeah.
Anyway, he tells it better than I do.
All right. So
Michael Nove is here, actually.
Who?
He's my collector. Do you want to have a word with him?
Yeah, I could do, yeah.
Okay, Mike, this is Resonance Radio. It's William.
Hello, William?
Hello, is that Michael?
William English.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very well, thank you.
And are you Belgian?
I live in Brussels.
Oh, okay.
But I've just brought some work for the show, for Jerry's show.
Oh, I see. You're a contributor to the show.
Yes.
But so you're not Belgian born. You're
No. I'm from London.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Will you be coming tomorrow?
I'm afraid not. No, I can't make it. Okay. No. Tell me about your work. What's your work like?
I'm not an artist. I'm a translator.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep hearing myself.
You spreek to Hollands then?
No, in Beetje. No, not
in Beetje.
Really, no.
You say Flams?
Français, oui.
Français, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shall I pass you back to Jack?
Yeah, okay.
I keep hearing myself when I speak.
It's echo, yeah, it's a bad echo. How you doing?
Okay.
Right, I've lost my technician. But when they all go home, I'm getting my drill out.
Yeah.
I just hammer these walls.
So tell me, Jack.
We've got Aldous Everley, actually, because he did, we're showing, doing drawing on a radio that he did first on Resonance.
Who's that?
Did you want to have a word with him?
Who is it?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, oh, sorry, William.
Yeah, who is this?
Aldous Everley.
Oh, okay.
He does this, it's a really bad echo. I think I'll move downstairs. He did this thing a few years ago called Drawing on the Radio.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea was that, you know, how would you sort of show, or, you know, a drawing on the radio?
Yeah.
And I remember us chatting about it, and I said, it sounded nice to try. So we talked about, you know, what goes through your head when you're drawing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So now they've got, in this hotel, they've got a phone booth they don't use.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ideal, you know.
Yeah.
And we're trying to do it so that the noise of it doesn't sort of piss off the staff, because that's nothing worse than having these repetitive art things in the background when
Tell me a bit about the installation. I mean, how many artworks have you got there?
Oh, my God. I think about 80 or more.
Really?
So we got a joke from Sigmund Freud about Ostend.
Oh, go on. Let's hear that.
That was really nice. So I got this. It's a script writer. Adam Gantz did it. We got him to draw. He's got lovely writing, you know, so he wrote it out.
Yeah.
And it's quite a posh hotel, and the joke is it's a displacement joke. And the guy who owns the hotel is lovely. He's up for it, you know.
Yeah.
A bit of teasing, you know.
Are you going to tell me the Freud joke?
Sorry?
Can you tell me the Freud joke?
Okay, I've got to go around to it and read it for you, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the first thing you've got to know is, you know, a schnorrer is a Yiddish word for kadger.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we go from there. Now, I've got to walk around to the find the work. We took it off the wall because they get work stolen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're using security fixings.
Right.
Hold that a sec, Michael. Yeah. Okay, right. I'm going to read it now.
Okay.
We got it from, actually, we got the joke from Michael's bookshelf.
Yeah.
So if I read it out, yeah, okay?
Yeah.
It says, the schnorrer begged the baron for some money for a journey to Ostend. His doctor had recommended sea bathing for his troubles. The baron thought Ostend was a particularly expensive resort. A cheaper one would do equally well. The schnorrer, however, rejected the proposal with the words, Herr Baron, I consider nothing too expensive for my health. And underneath there, this is an excellent displacement joke, which might have taken as a model for that class. And then underneath that, it says, this joke had in fact already appeared as an example of a displacement joke. See page 92. And then it says, Freud perhaps as an author, having added it to the earlier chapter and then omitted to make the necessary change in the present passage. So we've got Freud in the bloody show.
Okay. And who else? You've got Marcel Broters.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. You've got a real sort of fixation about everything to do with Belgium, haven't you, really? You're very obsessed with Belgium.
I suppose I don't like going on holiday all over the world. It's nice to go. If you go to one place, it seems to be more about people.
Yeah.
And if you're I suppose you're born in London, you're kind of, you're like a social animal anyway.
Yes.
And I don't know, mountains, I think, well, that looks a bit different from that.
Yeah.
But then, as you talk about it, there's no one there, you know.
Yeah, but why Belgium, though?
It was a new country. They're not, not snobs.
Yeah.
Like the, well, I went to Paris and I didn't really go for it, you know.
Yeah.
And Brussels I did, so, you know, horses for courses.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of this show, aren't you doing, isn't Howell going to read something on the beach?
What he was is there's a reading about my mum.
Yeah.
But he's a hero, but he's skint and he has a housing problem.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get him here, but what we might do is have what they call here a finissage. So at the end you do something, because we're doing a lot of things tomorrow. We're doing like a lecture on the Viewmaster. And showing a film of Marvin Gaye, some poetry readings of an Irish artist, Orla Barry.
Yeah.
And also David Robillard, who I think is an adorable artist. And, you know, any chance you get his stuff out, I think, you know, it's worthwhile. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
So the opening is tomorrow, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's bloody. And then in the window, they've got all these hearts.
Okay.
But I'm going to be naughty. They don't use that windoline that we use. You know the old one where you can block out a window?
Yes.
That you don't, you know, so I said, you know, they've got this horrible sculpture that they can't move, it's too heavy, and it's glass. So I said, well, I'll put the windoline over it,
yeah.
And I can write the title of the show through it, you see.
Yeah.
But it was really odd because he didn't get what he meant, what I was going to do to the windows. I said, no, they'll be clean after, don't worry.
Yeah.
He said, what is it, frosted glass and that? And I thought, things are quite local, aren't they, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, shall I better get off?
No, what's the view from the front of the hotel? Tell me what's
well,
the street
like? I'm at the back of the hotel, which I've got the casino actually next door.
Yeah.
You've got the street my hotel's in at the moment is Rue Brussels.
Yeah.
The view out the window, the sea looks all right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see England, but, and we've got a lot. Some of the works we've got is like documentary works.
Yeah.
And an artist called Tony Hayward.
Yeah.
He used to go to Knockout Heist when he was young.
Yeah.
His mum and dad used to take him there. And we used to see this painter called Emilio look into the sea and on this platform making like 20 paintings a day.
Yeah.
And his wife would sell raffle tickets and people would like win them, you see. And then one year he wasn't there and Tony realised that he'd died. And years later, he came across one of his paintings in the market.
Yeah.
But then he kind of wrote to someone from Heist about him, and he got, it's just a beautiful story. He used to sleep in a farm in the summer, painting away, and then in the winter, he'd go to Charleroi and sleep in the station and paint there.
Yeah.
And I mean, he didn't sleep in the station, no. He painted in the station.
Yeah.
But what we've done with, we've got these letters from Mr. Desizer from Canocca Heist.
Yeah.
And it's, hello, Mr. Tony. And then, but the second letter's lovely because it says, dear Mr. Hayward, I can say you, these are really paintings from Paul Emilio. I have seen him to make his paintings many times on the sea dike from Heist on Sea. He signed always with Emilio. I hope you are satisfied with my answers for your inquiry. They're lovely letters, you know.
But isn't the
in a way, and Tony's made a lovely book.
Yeah.
In a way, so it's something, you know, that's I don't know whether resurrected is the right word, but made a fuss of.
Yeah.
And I think artists, whether we're dead or alive, I think it's like there's certain bits that deserve to be made a fuss of.
Yeah.
You know.
But the strange thing about this guy was that he used to stand on the seafront, didn't he?
Mm.
Always in the same position.
That's right.
But looking out to sea, but actually he wasn't painting the scenery.
No, he painted windmills,
right.
Snow scenes. Apparently one day a year, on the day of the fishermen, he'd paint the sea. But, I mean, that was it, really. And, they're kind of weird. But actually, when you look at them, there's something to them. The colour's quite charming, and and even some of them are a bit Vermeer-like. So
you're the whole exhibition's called Outdoors, isn't it? Isn't it?
Boutendoor.
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 Yeah, which means outside.
Sort of. It's kind of. They don't. Yeah, it's not quite. That. It's a bit of a corruption of Dutch and English.
Right.
I'm walking along, I'm showing that summer sails. We're doing a whole boat section. Oh. We got the, I mean, you've got the sea's air. And you know that in Hamilton Finley, where the sea and land?
Yeah.
So you literally can line the picture up with the horizon of the sea.
Oh, right.
You know, that, yeah. You know, there's the lines across to the sea and the brown ones down to the land.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and old Howell's done a lovely work, Helwyn Jones.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I've never known what a dromedar means, but obviously he does.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out now. I'm actually going out to the entrance, and he's got all these seven stars, and he's got a ruler, and then he's got Andromeda. But in the ruler is written Andromeda, like ruler of men.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we put that in the entrance, you know, because it's the start of the hotel, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And what I should do is step outside.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
No, it's all right, actually. It's sunny. Yeah. And... it's gorgeous. It's boats, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The real ones.
Yes, I can hear. The acoustics are completely different now. You can sort of...
Oh, yeah.
There's no sort of echo.
We've got this lovely promenade in. Apparently everyone dresses up, except for the artists. yeah, I don't know what... No, it's a sort of... It was built in 1970-something, this hotel.
Yeah.
But it's pretty big, yeah.
Well, tell me briefly about the. You better tell me about the show, Jerry. Is it kind of like, when does it? It opens tomorrow,
yep.
And it's what, runs for 2 months or something.
Yeah, till April. And when I'm open, he's going to like it and keep it on the summer. You know.
Oh right.
People pop in and out.
So the hotel keepers, they're kind of sort of art lovers or patrons of the art.
The,
or what?
The one who started it, yeah, the father of Sabine. He it was. It's not a chain, and he just collects art. Is art in every room, everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But the only rule for the show, he said, it's got to be bigger than a suitcase, because people don't just nick the towels, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I've had to add all these security clips to use.
Right.
My friend John Swarbrick sort of was really helpful.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah.
And there's these screws called snake eyes. They're for the plinths.
Right.
Know. So yeah, you just got to try and not one step ahead. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, the sand's lovely here. But Christoph told me that they've really messed up us then, because, you know, the tide used to come right in, but they want people on the beach all bloody day.
Yeah.
So they put more and more sand, and he says it spoils it, you know.
Right.
Oh, I don't know, you know.
Okay. Well, that's great, Jerry. Thank you very much for talking.
I'll go back and check on me daisy chain.
Talking to us. Yeah, good luck with the show.
I'll go back indoors. See ya.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry. Bye. Bye.
Well, Lenin and Leon Trotsky, they abolished the Constituent Assembly. The Bolsheviks had demanded democracy that the capitalist government would not concede. The revolution could have spread to Germany, but their communist party suffered from naivety. The German ruling class killed heroes Karl and Rosa, and then funded the rise of Adolf Hitler. The Holocaust targeted not just Jews but socialists, gypsies, gays, disabled people and trade unionists. Hero Biko died in a white man's jail, 'cause the blacks and the coloureds played the Biko drum. Hero Nelson was allowed to live. Revolution beckoned, something had to give. White bosses finally let him go to stop revolution from below. Heroes Martin, Malcolm and JFK threatened to transform the USA. That's why they were blown away by the FBI or the CIA. Whatever happened to the heroes? Band-Aid 1984. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? In a world of plenty, so many shattered dreams. Capitalism is a curse. Third world problems get worse and worse. Something isn't happening there. Something isn't happening. 'Cause they send in the clowns and then they send in the tanks. Infiltration, assassinations and mind control. And not just the odd MI5 or CIA mole have so far stopped the revolution. But it is the only solution. Band-Aid 2004. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? In a world of plenty, so many shattered dreams. Whatever happened to the heroes? A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Militant tendency heroes beat the poll tax, and at last got Maggie Thatcher off our backs. But there was a state infiltrator called Steve Nally, who after the riot said he'd name names on TV. Hero Peter did the working class a favour when he took Militant out of New Labour. And Hero Tommy, who led the Scottish Federation, when elected to Glasgow Council from jail, caused a sensation. He was imprisoned for 6 months for poll tax defiance. Scottish Militant Labour established the Scottish Socialist Alliance. The Alliance carried out direct action to try to stop a motorway extension. In that campaign, Rosie Kane became a new hero. And in the struggle for a republic, she later struck a blow. She was one of six Scottish Socialist Party members elected to the Scottish Parliament, but to the Queen's rule she objected. So when she had to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen, she wrote, "My oath is to the people," on her hand, and wore jeans. Whatever happened to the heroes? Band-Aid 1984. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? In a world of plenty, so many shattered dreams. Capitalism is a curse. Third world problems get worse and worse.